Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Here on Sports Time Radio, I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Of course, the front page is, well, the blog on Wednesdays and Saturdays. You know that goes up, but there is content added throughout the week. So swing on over there, check that out, see what's going on. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, we appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan C. Man, the three.
So, all right, Dan, you know, I was doing, you know, my usual wonderful stuff today, just kind of hanging out with all that, you know, play that funky music, white boy things I like to do. And I click on the internet, want to get some sports news, see what's going on for the game. And the first big thing that pops up is Dale Earnhardt Jr. is announcing his retirement. This will be his last year in NASCAR. I guess he's apparently still having concussion symptoms. You know, he missed the final 18 races last year. And it just, you know, I guess, I would guess he's still got something going on maybe, or, you know, one of those things. But I, obviously, you know, I don't know. What do you kind of feel about that? What do you see his legacy being? You know, he never won a championship, but he's been voted the most popular driver of the past, I think it's 14 years or 18 years or something like that.
Yeah. I don't know if Mr. Fantasy is dire for it now, right?
So, yeah, I thought that was, a huge, huge surprise to start the day. I mean, I don't think I was, you know, expecting anything like that. It's, it's kind of, you know, I don't know if interesting is the proper term for it, but it really appears that, you know, concussions are becoming quite prevalent with, you know, what these guys' decisions are nowadays, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but I mean, at some point, you've got to ask yourself, is it still worth it? Can't be young forever.
Obviously, as far as race car drivers are, I guess he's still considered young. He is, I believe, 40. So, you know, he's not old by any sense of the word. But, yeah, you wonder, you know, how much this continues to play into factors and, you know, how things kind of work out. But I'll be interested to see how his legacy goes down because, I believe he has 26 career wins, which obviously is, you know, incredibly good. But, you know, as you start to look at it, you know, sadly, there's no championships on his resume. You know, he never managed to get that one big kind of over-the-hump title. And, you know, I just wonder how, you know, more the experts than anything, because the fans are always going to see him as, you know, he's junior and, obviously he had a tough legacy to live up to. His father was one of the greatest drivers of all time. So, I mean, do you think he did okay comparatively to, you know, how Dad was?
Well, I mean, you're asking the wrong person. My NASCAR knowledge doesn't go that far back, as you know. But, I mean, isn't that all part of it, being part of the family legacy?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I guess one way or the other, it kind of works out that way. I just, you know, I guess I was just more shocked than anything else. I mean, it wasn't the way I was kind of expecting to start my sports day. I figured, you know, it would be the genuine BS that, you know, I always kind of have to put up with and, you know, listen to, and then all of a sudden it's like, wait, he did what? So it was just a huge shocker there. And I guess, you know, maybe I'm not even quite sure how to make sense of it yet. So, I haven't heard any comments from any other drivers, but I'm sure, you know, they're all probably out there if you want to get it up. But, you know, and obviously he's not going anywhere. He actually still owns what are they called now? I know the top one is Monster Energy, and the secondary one, is it still the Busch Series? I don't know. No, it's the Xfinity Series now. It's been the Xfinity Series for a couple of years. He still owns a team there, so it's not like he's going to be gone. It's just the fact that he's not going to be driving. So that was just
more surprised that he stopped in the middle of the season?
Well, no, he's going to finish out the year. He wanted to get the announcement out there early and get it done already. So, you know, he's all set and apparently ready to go. But yeah, I thought that was kind of weird. But we can run away from that one. What I also saw, Dan, is the group led by former Florida Governor Jeb Bush and Derek Jeter, former Yankee, of course, he's not a former governor yet. They had the winning bid to buy the Florida Marlins at $1.3 billion. Are you excited to see Jeter as an owner?
Well, I mean, he's going to be part of the group, so. But I think it'll be pretty awesome. I don't know why.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, if you've got, Jeter in as part of your ownership group, doesn't he have to automatically become the face, kind of like Magic did when they bought the Dodgers?
Yeah, well, I mean, you're not going to be marketing the team using Jeb Bush, are you?
Yeah, you know, can you do that in Florida? I mean, he was governor for a little while. I don't know what his, you know, his, you know, relationship is like with the state now, but I don't know if that would work. So,
I mean, but it's just a matter of them actually finishing the deal and coming out and saying what's going to be different. You know, what's going to change the landscape of the Marlins?
Yeah, well, you know, I find that it's quite the very, very well profitable for Jeffrey Lurie, who owned the team. He bought the team in 2002. For $158.5 million, and now he's turned around and sold it, 15 years later for $1.3 billion? Yeah, that's not a bad markup, huh? So I think he's going to do okay there. It will be interesting to see what the plan is or how, or, you know, if the team does anything. You know, they kind of looked like they were going to be on the upswing with some young talent. And then, of course, you know, they had the horrible accident last year with Jose Fernandez. And, you know, it's tough to you know, replace a player like that. But, you know, they're not, you know, I don't think they're doing too badly this year. I got to double check the standings here before I give them too much credit. No, actually, they're 10-8. They're 2.5 games behind the Nationals right now. Obviously, it is very early, but, you know, they're one of only two teams over 500 in that division. So, I don't know. I mean, what can a new ownership do to, you know, entice themselves to fans, do you think?
You've got to wonder who they'll bring into the front office, because you've got to imagine that will be completely cleared out. And like we've seen here in Chicago, you know, the Ricketts went and got, you know, Theo, and Theo used his lifelong friendships to bring people in to help win a World Series. And, you know, they, like you said, the loss of Jose Fernandez, they lack in that pitching department. So you've got to wonder what, you know, what Jeter and who the front office people can do to kind of to land people to not be there.
So, yeah, and, you know, as of right now, you know, the Marlins have only played 6 home games, so it's an incredibly small sample size, but they rank 24th in attendance. They're drawing 24,313 people on average. So, you know, I just having Jeter as your owner get people into your ballpark?
It could, but again, I mean, it's not about Jeter. It's about how Jeter can help bring people play for the team to make people want to show up.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, that's going to take a little while, you know, to kind of get that moving. I mean, you know, do you think there's enough of a fascination now just to, you know, like come next year, it would probably be next year when they officially take over or however they work it out. You know, is there enough of a draw just to add a couple thousand people to go, hey, well, maybe we'll see Derek Jeter if we go to the game?
There could be. I mean, he's from that area.
You know, because, you know, obviously the first thing they're going to look for is an attendance bump. I mean, the Cubs didn't have to deal with that. You know, while attendance was down, it was only down a little bit. So, you know, it wasn't like they were worried about it, you know. But, I mean, we're talking about a team here that's, you know, 24th out of 30 teams. So, you know, they're obviously down there, and they have some talent. So there's got to be other factors on why people aren't going to the ballpark.
So it's Miami. They go to the beach.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, you can't, you know, do you go to the beach at night? I mean, aren't most of the games in the evening? Or, you know, and I know it's kind of an older community. Does that hurt them?
Well, I mean, I don't know. What do you mean by older community?
Well, you know, it's more of a, it's kind of the retirement state, right, except for South Beach.
Yeah, but I mean, you really, that's like saying Phoenix and Las Vegas are just retirement communities now. I don't think that really exists like it used to.
Well, isn't Phoenix just a retirement, still a retirement community anyways, you know? You know, I mean, Arizona is only drawn 26,020 people to a game. They're 22nd. So they're not so far ahead of the, you know, ahead of the Marlins.
No.
You know, we won't know until the Raiders get to Vegas.
But yeah, but I mean, the way the world is, millions of people live in a metropolitan area. So it's not literally just the retired people who went to Miami. I mean, if you go down to Miami, everyone's driving Lamborghinis and Maseratis. You're kind of starting to sound like a Mr. Fantasy when he was getting angry.
Oh,
so Vegas can't support a team.
Why aren't they going to the games then?
I don't know. You're the one who watches,
you know,
the guys who are from Miami. Don't they have an explanation?
You know, who's from? Oh, no, they don't ever talk about actual sports. So, you know, they just talk about BS most of the time. So, you know, I mean, is it maybe, you know, have anything to do with the fact? I mean, obviously, you know, Miami is kind of a, I mean, you'd call it a party city, right? I mean, is it just the fact that there's so much else to do it at night like that? Baseball takes a back seat, or, you know, because most of that stuff goes on later, doesn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, most of the nightlife, if you're into nightlife, you're not going out till 10, 11 o'clock at night and partying until 2 or 3 in the morning.
You know, well, you know, I know you used to live that lifestyle, so I know you know a lot more about it than I do. I mean, are they resting to go out, or, I mean, do they do pregame still? I don't know how that kind of works out.
No, I mean, but take a look at that stadium. Is that the kind of place you would want to start off your night? It looks like a circus.
Yeah, it's new.
Yeah, a new circus. Kids go to circuses, not adults.
You don't like the circus?
No, I smell.
That's terrible.
But, I mean, just watching the games on TV, if you were able to pick any park, I mean, what would draw you to go to Miami? That stupid giant lime green thing in center field?
The fish or whatever it is, that's kind of cool, right? No, you don't like the fish? It is a fish, right, isn't it?
It looks like an alien to me. It makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah, I don't, you know, like I said, I don't, you know, I haven't seen enough of the stadium to, you know, to know a ton about it. I know it gets ripped quite a bit, but, you know, I'm just kind of like, oh, okay. But, yeah, I just, you know, you always kind of wonder, you know, with new ownership, you know, what their plans are or what they're going to do. So I figured maybe you had some good ideas for them.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, the issue is you just spent $1.3 million into a stadium, you know, which the stadium cost $634 million to build. How do you redo it to make it a place where people want to go? Big Jack, you've watched the games. I know you've seen them on TV. You got the MLB package. I think you need to take a couple of days and watch a couple of the games and, you know, look around and be like, why would I want to go there?
I don't know. I think, wouldn't it be better if, you know, Sports Time Radio flew me to Miami and let me go to a game there so I could experience it in person?
Well, when you get Mr. Fantasy to fund that, let me know.
You know, I think that would allow me, you know, better judgment if I actually went there and attended a game, don't you?
Yeah, but then you'd complain because your knee.
Yeah, well, I do that anyways. There's just, you know, so much I can do about that. You know, I mean, but if, you know, if I had to do it for work, then, you know, I would have to do it for work. So, you know, that's just kind of how it worked out. But, you know, like I said, I just thought it was kind of interesting that he, you know, it ended up being his ownership group, because I know Tom Glavine was in with one of the other ownership groups, bidding for the team as well. So, but I know, you know, Dan, we already have three postponements on the night, and I know you're going to be really disappointed in the one we have. We were talking about the Marlins. The Marlins were in Philadelphia tonight. That game is postponed. The Braves were in New York to play the Mets, and that game is postponed. And I know, Dan, the one you're really going to miss, the Yankees and the Red Sox have already been postponed, Dan.
Yeah. I took Pablo and Bradley out of my lineup.
Yeah, and, you know, it was supposed to be an MLB Network game tonight, so they're switching They're either going to show the Cubs at the Pirates or the Rays at the Orioles. You know, and of course, like always, all three of the series games are on television. Two of them are on the MLB Network, and The other one is the Wednesday night game on the Mickey Mouse Network. So, you know, like always, you can't get away from those Yankees-Red Sox series. You know, but on the plus side, at least on ESPN, I don't have to listen to Michael Kay. Oh, God, the guy still drives me nuts. So,
he's your favorite.
Yeah, I have to go in now. And, you know, I was telling Dan off the air, Mr. Fantasy struggled a little bit with his FanDuel lineups yesterday, so I didn't get any today. So I did do one for the 7 o'clock games. I just got to go in real quick and make sure I didn't, with six games postponed, I got to make sure I didn't have anybody from him in my lineup so I can go in and switch out. And no, I look okay. So I'm okay at least. But yeah, I believe he had one lineup yesterday that did all right. I got to pull it up. Or he scored 141.5 points. I don't know if that's good enough, the money. Most days it's not. It just kind of depends what league you're in. But otherwise, he had 113 and 107.5. So he went from being huge on Sunday. He told me he had like a 180-point day on Sunday. So he killed it with the lineups we did on air. He did real well, and so did I. To yesterday, he went off the cliff. I don't know what happened there. So... but yeah, so you're on your own for FanDuel today. You know, I can tell you, I did build my lineup around Clayton Kershaw just because it's hard not to when Clayton Kershaw pitches. So, you know, just good luck going out and finding the value, guys. And I hope if it works out for you, you win. So. Oh. So yes, we shall see. Now, did you have do you have Pablo in our weekly fantasy?
Yeah, I'm the one league. I forget which one.
So you went in and put him on the DL. What did he do? He sprained a knee or something?
Oh, he's on the DL? Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
okay,
I just saw today he was placed on the DL, so... I don't think I ended up with him in either league. I know I was hoping to land him really, really late in the snake league, and somebody beat me to him. But I myself need to go in here and check now to make sure I don't have him have him in any of my lineups today, so I'm not not going to eat crow for. A few days, at least, I hope. But, yeah, you know, it's too bad he got hurt. He was off to a pretty good start. You know, it looked like he was bouncing back a little bit, and it was kind of like, great, now he's going to have to deal with this. And, you know, hopefully, you know, it's only the 10-day thing, and they're only calling it a sprain. So maybe he'll recover quickly, and it'll only be just the 10 days. So, we'll have to see, but... I was kind of happy to see him hit better after all the crap he took last year, and they tried to blame everything on him. So,
despite the fact that he had a pretty decent season.
Yeah. So. And now I do have kind of just an off the wall question for you here, Dan. It is Jake Lamb bobblehead night today in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not in the lineup. Is that right? Shouldn't he automatically be in the lineup when it's Jake Lamb bobblehead night?
Pretty much.
So, yeah, I just noticed that. I was like, wait a minute. He's gone. What happened to Jake Lamb? But yeah, he's out of the lineup tonight against the Padres. I don't know, maybe they're starting a lefty, but I saw earlier on Intentional Talk they had David Peralta on as the guest, and he actually had the bobblehead they're handing out. It looked pretty neat, except for the fact that they had him on like one knee petting a lamb, which I thought was a little weird. But you know, like okay, you know, I guess I can deal with it. So. But yeah, I just thought that was humorous. I was looking through because he was in my lineup, and I'm like, oh, okay. And then I realized he's got the big X by him. Wait a minute, he's not playing. Like, but it's Bob. It's Jake Lamb bobblehead night. So I was like, oh boy, that's just not good. So we'll have to see. I don't know. Does that mean should they automatically lose or something because they're doing that? You know. You know, and how are your Yahoo leagues doing? I know Mr. Fantasy and I have talked about ours a little bit, but I haven't heard much about how yours are going.
Oh, well, that's probably because you guys can't see me because I'm at the top in both. I'm in the Snake League, the traditional. I'm sitting at fourth, but I'm up against the first place team this week. And hopefully I'm double-checking that he has as many guys sitting out tonight due to the postponement. Which, no, he's only got two guys out, so hopefully the rest of his team sucks tonight. And then in the other league, in the auction league, I'm sitting at third. So in this league, I'm going up against one of our nemesises, Jay Birds. You remember him from last year. I think he knocked me out of the playoffs. So I'm hoping to beat him. But, I mean, it's still early. But, you know, obviously the win early in the season really helped. And I've been going with my pitching strategy where, you know, if a pitcher's not doing so well, I just drop him and pick up the next guy who's starting. And that's one of those things that helps with guys going on the DL. Is you get a guy who, you know, your roster's all filled up, and you got a guy on the DL, so now you got an open spot to just pick up a random pitcher who's going to start today or tomorrow, because you can't pick for today. So that's actually helped me out a couple times.
Well, if it makes you feel better, I actually did beat Jay Bird last week. It was close. Yay. I beat him 16-12 in the auction league. So I don't know if that'll help you or if you can build on that, but yeah, it was weird. My auction team had a terrible first week against the Elk guy, of course. You know, of all the guys that come out and just stink against the start, it was him. I was horrible. And then after that, they've been pretty good. You know, I've had winning weeks since then, but yeah, you know, this year he's the Elk Eradicators. And he definitely just eradicated me in the auction league. I mean, he kicked my butt in week one. And, you know, the damn Snake League, I'm just kind of hanging around in. You know, I'm just 500. I'm in 14th. But, you know, I'm not far out of anything because it's early. You know, like I won last week. I think I lost last week, so I'm four games under 500. But, yeah, it's just, you know, that's the league where I'm kind of rolling the DL. It seems like every day I've got another guy going on the DL. You know, and this, you know, this 10-day DL is just kind of tough on fantasy managers. I mean, you're swapping guys. And, I mean, I'm afraid to do my lineup more than a couple days in advance just because of that. I just never know who the hell's going on the DL. You know, I mean, I think just today – besides Pablo, I thought I saw a couple other guys added as well. And it's just like, you know, man, this is just, you know, just nuts with this. It's, you know, like I know the Astros put Jake Marisnyk on the 7-day DL. You know, I don't know. I mean, I know our league is pretty deep, but I don't think anybody has him. But, yeah, it just seems... you know, I know like Shelby Miller went on, Jock Peterson went on. That was the name I couldn't think of there. I knew it was a name. You know, Aaron Nola ended up going on the other day, and you know, even Travis Jankowski from the Padres went on, who you know, I think a lot of people, you know, in our league ended up picking up. But yeah, it was just kind of like, damn, why are all, you know, we're just shuffling guys through this damn DL. So, And did you see I killed Clay Buchholz? I picked him as my comeback player of the year, and he's on a 60-day DL.
Well, he doesn't really do that well playing a whole season, so that it might actually help.
Well, you know, I figured he, of all the guys, I figured he was the perfect choice for comeback player of the year. You know, it just kind of made sense. You know, because he always seems to be hurt, and it's just like, okay. Sure enough, what happened? He got hurt. So, like, damn it, Clay. I killed you. I'm sorry. So.
Yeah, and I know you strictly use the computer, and you're not really down with using apps on tablets or the phone. But they did a new update for Yahoo, and it's actually pretty, it's a lot more friendly. The one thing I'm noticing that's just kind of killing me, I mean, it helped me out week one, but, you know, we had a new guy join our league, and he is now sitting at 6-80. So too bad we can't swap out managers right away.
Yeah.
In the auction. The Southside South Suburb Boys. I forget his real name.
Yeah.
Steve Kane. There you go.
Oh, okay. Wow. Huh. That's weird. So.
I mean,
okay. Yeah, you know, because that's weird, because I know he's one of my Facebook friends. That's how he signed up, from me posting it on my Facebook page when we were looking for a couple guys. So maybe I'll shoot him a message and see if he responds to me about it. But I did want to ask you while we're talking about this, are you going to go out and pick up Cody Bellinger now that the Dodgers have called him up?
Well, I didn't even know they did.
Yeah, he got called up officially today. It looks like they're going to, he's going to, as they say, share time in the outfield. And, of course, spell Adrian Gonzalez occasionally at first base. But he was the guy they pulled up when, or brought up when Jock Peterson went on the disabled list. So.
Yeah, no, I wasn't quick enough, so.
Oh, somebody got him already?
Oh, yeah, the El Kibashers and someone else got him. He's already been picked up.
Wow. Holy cow. Because, yeah, I mean, they just announced the move a little while ago. So.
Yeah, but you forget with our leagues. I mean, yeah, we have 20 teams, and we have about five in each that really don't pay attention. But you've got to be – you remember the NFL, but you couldn't pick up a guy. You had to be on top of it. I mean, the best way to really make it in our league is if you work overnight.
Yes, because then I can come home and look right away. So
exactly.
Yeah, you know, that's always a big plus for me. I can come home and jump on and just be like, hey.
Yeah, no,
all
I legitimately
right,
I just
go.
Looked and he was taking it both ways.
Yeah, boy, that didn't take long. So.
No, and, you know, sadly, I've been missing those caps, you know, 3 days 2 weeks ago and then 3 days last week of work. I've been playing catch-up, so I haven't had as much free time as I usually have.
Yeah, that, you know, that always makes it tough. But, yeah, I saw that. I was like, oh, okay, he's coming up. I figured, you know, they really just kind of – I don't even know if the new move had been officially announced. I was like, oh, I wonder if Dan jumped on and picked this guy up. But, oh, well, I guess not.
No, no, he's actually still considered NA. So he's not even available.
Wow. So, and I don't know, I haven't seen, let me see if the lineup is announced. You know, I know it's a later game tonight, so it might not be. But, you know, see if he's in the starting lineup for the Dodgers tonight. I mean, I know they're playing the Giants. Who is it? It's Ty Black for the Giants tonight. Yeah, it doesn't look like the lineup has been announced yet. So I don't know if he will be making his start tonight. So we'll have to wait and see. So you know, now I did see, Dan, that they're saying there's an outside chance that Rajon Rondo plays tomorrow for the Bulls. And if not tomorrow, they think he's coming back for game 6. Are you surprised? Because, I mean, they said fractured thumb.
I mean, can't he just tape it up?
You know, he probably can, but, and I mean, I know he's got not a great shooter, but it's on his shooting hand. So, I'm not sure if he can shoot the basketball.
He doesn't shoot all that often anyway. He's always looking.
No, I mean, well, that's the best. That's the best thing is for him not to shoot that often. To be fair, I mean, he's a horrible shooter. So, but yeah, I mean, I was a little surprised when I saw the fact that he might be back tomorrow. And do you think that helps the Bulls more, or the fact that the game goes back to TNT helps them more?
I think they have two on their side, but maybe a double negative.
Yeah, well, you know, because, like, I would think, I mean, if I'm the Celtics, you know, and if he plays and he has the ball, I'm really not guarding him, you know, as a shooter outside of the top of the key. You know, if he wants to stand out there and shoot threes, I'm going to let him. I mean, I would probably let him with a healthy hand. If he's got a bad thumb on his shooting hand, man, I'll let him fire away all day. I don't think he can beat me from out there. I mean, you know, is that something you think they might try, or would you do something like that with him?
No, I mean, I think they let him take a shot, but you got to remember, what ends up happening is they'll end up covering somebody else. And with the way the game is played now, the only one who's going to be down in the hole for the key is Robin Lopez. And if you move him out of the hole, that's when Rondo's going to make his attempt to run in. And that's always kind of the switch and bait, where then all of a sudden two guys try to jump in to stop him, and you're leaving someone like Nico open on the outside, who hasn't been as reliable as you would like. But, I mean, even oddly, Bobby Portis has been on the outside taking shots, which it still kills me that guys that they are, you know, three men.
Yeah. Well, now, you know, I thought this was kind of humorous because I thought of you right away. I think it was game 4 when the Bucks beat the Raptors. I'm sure you didn't see the press conference, or you probably didn't even notice it in the highlights, but, you know, the Bucks' big star, of course, is the guy they call the Greek freak, Giannis Antetokounmpo. He gave a special shout-out to your guy, Tony Snell, for the defense he was playing in that game, and actually mentioned him by name in the press conference. I was kind of chuckling. I'm like, oh, man, it's too bad Dan's not watching this.
Well, no, I mean, you'd be surprised when we were up there. You know, they did trivia between, you know, I was going to say between innings, but between breaks. And a lot of the trivia, all the answers were Tony Snell, who's got the most points, who has the highest true point and shooting percentage. Tony Snell, he's doing a lot of work up there. And I think they need another big man up there. I think they could really make a run for it.
Yes, poor Tony Snow. Oh, so. But yeah,
he's
just
actually,
like I said, I saw that. I thought it was humorous.
Well, you know, I mean, yeah, I killed Tony Snow a lot when he was on the Bulls, but let's go back a couple of years for two things. He wasn't his guy, so he didn't get to play all that often. And when he did, they were leaving the kid wide open shooting threes, and he wasn't making them. I mean, if you're not playing all the time, you really can't be making that shot. And I noticed he, from what I watched, if he stepped up his aggression just a little bit more, he could be dangerous. He'd be one of those guys that just, you know, takes it to the hole and really fights. But, you know, as we've talked a million times, that part of the game is kind of gone. If you're lucky if you have one of those guys. The Greek Freak, he's one of those guys. He's aggressive. He'll take the ball. He'll drive. Rondo, he's one of those guys. He's aggressive. He'll be at the top, you know, at the top of the three-point line and run it all the way in with no fear. But I think, you know, like with a guy like Tony Snell, not having seen him play as much, you know, even less now that he's with the Bucks, he silently made a lot better of a game for himself up there, being able to play more, because he was never going to get with, you know, Tibbs. And then, you know, I think we're still trying to figure out what, not so much what Fred Hoiberg's system is, but who fits Fred Hoiberg's system.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Yeah, after 2 years, they have no idea what to do. But, I saw this article today, Dan. I don't understand how this does any good, and I really want your input here. Now, you know, the Cavaliers ended up sweeping the Pacers, you know, four straight games. No real surprise there, but they were all really close games. Now, the last game was 106-102. Cleveland got by with the win, but then the NBA came out yesterday and mentioned that in the last 2 minutes of the game, the referees missed two traveling violations on the Cleveland Cavaliers. One of them, was it one on LeBron James, or were they both on LeBron James? I don't remember. Now, you know, you and I both know there's no such thing as traveling in the NBA anymore. I mean, you and I have watched, you know, even though I don't watch a ton of games, you and I both know this rule doesn't exist. Why in the hell would the NBA even put this out there?
Traveling only counts if you take a fourth step, right? I thought there was only, you can only get two steps. But yeah, you're right. I mean, that was just like when the series last year, with I believe with Oklahoma, basically the referees screwed up and we're not going to say it. We're just going to imply it, but Oklahoma should have won.
Yeah.
You know, you remember? I mean, it was so asinine that, yeah, they screwed up, but, you know, there's no accountability. There's no press conference for referees because, I mean, who really gives a crap? Nobody's there to see them to begin with. But, there's kind of the common theme across all four. Well, maybe three. I think NFL has it a little better. But with the age that we are in, do you really need the guys on the floor anymore? I'm not saying eliminate umpires, referees, and such. But with the technology, can't these guys all be in a room and just have one guy on the floor? Because let's be honest, a lot of the calls that get called on the court are BS. You know, in baseball, we've got this stupid instant replay, but it seems like you can instant replay anything. I don't understand it. You know, they only do the instant replay when it's in their favor. And then you magically get another one. I don't know. It just seems like the whole officiating, the way they do things is just half-assed backwards, when we could literally watch it and go, hey, they screwed up. But we'll just let, you know, Kyrie Irving elbow LeBron James and the other team gets the technical and LeBron gets to shoot 6 fouls.
Yeah, well, you know, like what I found, you know, some of the really humorous things is there's a, a shot in the playoffs that they didn't talk about, where Steph Curry, they inbound the ball to Steph Curry, and he literally takes three steps before he dribbles. And it's like, guys, he's got to dribble the ball. You know, that's kind of how this sport works. And, you know, they did it earlier in the season with him. It was one of the final games, and they were talking about this glorious behind-the-back pass he made for a layup. And, yeah, you know, I mean, it was a fantastic pass, and it looked really cool. The problem was he took four steps across the lane without dribbling the basketball to make it. That's traveling.
Well, no,
you know, it doesn't matter how.
6'2", 6'7", 6'9", it still takes more than two steps to go from the three-point line to the basket. Unless there's nobody there. You know, in every single game I've watched, any time I see a guy, and this isn't, you know, LeBron hatership or any of that. This is LeBron to everybody. They all take three to four steps. I mean, look at D-Rose. He missed out on the playoffs, so he had to come see the Bulls play. D-Wade. I mean, yeah, he makes some kind of spectacular, some fun, exciting things in the hole down on the bottom. But you can't tell me half the time those are all travel. Why not just eliminate it? Speak the truth. We're going to give the guys three steps now. All right, I'm fine with that.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, if you would, you know, just tell me, you know, I wouldn't care. I mean, like, even it was funny because Fred Hoiberg pointed it out after the Bulls game, game four, and a lot of the newspaper reporters and stuff called him whiny, but he talked about the fact that Isaiah Thomas will carry the basketball. He'll literally put his hand under it and turn it over before he drives to the basket, and that is carrying. You're not allowed to do that. And it was weird that these guys, and obviously they don't like Hoiberg, you know, he's just one of the guys they decided they don't like. But, yeah, they jumped all over him. Now, if it would have been, you know, Greg Popovich or, you know, a coach of that ilk, they would have been lauding him as, oh, this is a great move. He's trying to get into the superstar's head. And, you know, it's fantastic that he called him out like that. But, yeah, since it was Fred Hoiberg, they called him whiny, even though he is correct. You know, I mean, they're never going to make that call, but,
no.
You know, he was right about it.
I'm going to have to watch that tonight. That's tonight, right? Or that's tomorrow?
Oh, it's tomorrow. They have another three-day break between games. They don't play until tomorrow. So tonight we have we got Oklahoma City at Houston. Yeah, we got Oklahoma City at Houston, Memphis at San Diego, and Utah at the Clippers. All game fives tonight. So,
Houston, Oklahoma.
We'll see. Now, do you like this trick Houston is trying, Dan? They're having the issue where their fans are showing up late for games. So, you know, the game starts at 7 o'clock our time. So between, I think it's 5:30 and 6:30, they're having dollar beers, dollar sodas, dollar hot dogs, and dollar nachos to try to get people in the door early. I guess, A, would you go for that, and B, will it work?
Hell yeah. You know, I don't – the Red Sox didn't do it. San Francisco didn't do it. I don't remember any other stadium, but the whole reason you go to a Cubs game early and why you see Cubs fans there early – it may not seem like a lot, but you get 15, I think, or 20% off your order up until the first inning.
Ah.
So, I mean, I've always gone early and, you know, gotten my 15% off. But actually now, if I do go to a game early, there's a pizza place, actually, a block right across the street that sells you almost like an eighth of a pizza, a huge, giant pizza. It's called Bocce's Pizza. You got to look it up if you're you know, downtown Chicago by where I work, or if you're in Wrigleyville, you need to check it out. It's right by all the ticket scalpers, right next to the L, the Edison train station there. You go in there, and for $5 and some change, you get this big-ass piece of pizza. And not only do you get that, you get a free cup to fill your fill a pop-up for free. And I'm telling you, you do that, you go to a Cubs game, you buy yourself a bottle of water at home or, you know, from the local place by your house where it only costs you $1.50. As long as you don't open it, you can bring it in. And then you go to Bocce's Pizza, you spend $6, you get your big-ass piece of pizza, you eat it there so you can get that second refill on the pop. And then, you don't need to eat anything inside the game. But, of course, like I said, the Cubs do offer 15% off for, like, the first couple hours. So it's always a big positive.
Yeah, I just thought that was, you know, because I had never heard of a team doing, you know, a dollar like that. You know, I mean, that was new to me, and I was just kind of like, oh, okay, this is interesting. Only for an hour. Yeah, it ends in, it's dollar beers and dollar sodas, and then dollar hot dogs and dollar nachos.
What's the limit?
So, now that I didn't see if there was one or anything. I'm guessing with the beers, there's probably a limit. You know, you don't want some guy trying to chug 20 beers in an hour. But yeah, I don't know if there is on the other stuff.
I mean, because, you know, I would three hot dogs just because.
Oh, yeah, you know, because, I mean, I wouldn't have a problem, you know, wolfing, you know, I could drop $20 really easy there. I'm looking here to see if they have a they don't have any kind of limit listed. It just says the CEO of the team is a gentleman by the name of Tad Brown, and he said, yeah, they'll offer each and every fan dollar food and beverages that include beer, hot dogs, nachos, and soda, all for just a dollar.
Wow.
So, and apparently it's from 5:30 to 6:30. I don't know if they're in the same time zone as you and I, Dan, but yeah, it's from 5:30 to 6:30.
I believe they are.
So, yeah, there's... No limit listed. There's a couple other articles on it, but I don't know if they, you know, I'll grab them here real quick and see if there's any kind of limit listed here. But yes, as far as I know, it does not appear that I would think, like I said, I would think there would be a, you know, a possible beer limit, but then again, you never know. It could just be a bunch of naked drunk Rocket fans running on the court tonight.
Well, I'm sure the beer line will be long.
Oh yeah. So could you, can you just imagine that? So that would just be, just nuts, you know, with that kind of thing going on there. But, you know, hey, I guess if it works and it gets your fans in, you know, good luck.
Yeah. Well, shoot, I need to hurt. That's how you get people. I mean, we should do that more often.
Yeah, you know, like I said, I would have no problem going down and wolfing down about, you know, 10 hot dogs or, you know, whatever. So, you know, I wonder if they, like, limit your order. Like, you can only order so much and then you got to get back in line or something.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing that kind of gets me, though, is we know what regular season tickets cost. Okay, you got playoff tickets. Why are you late?
Yeah, you know, who knows with, you know, how people are. So, you know, it's just, it's one of those. you know, weird things where it's like, okay, well, you know, and I did hear somebody say apparently traffic is incredibly bad around the stadium there.
Oh.
So maybe, you know, maybe that has something to do with it, but.
Just sounds like a city issue then.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know how it is. You know, it's traffic, regardless of, you know, where you are, or wherever it is. It just, you're always gonna hit something.
It is pretty genius to offer them.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see if they say or how they say it works. So, you know, we'll have to see how that works out. I'll have to try to remember tomorrow to see if there's a report out there or anything that says, you know, if how, you know, this went down. So, yeah, you know, are you going to, you know, that's the first game tonight. Are you going to get a chance to check some of it out? I know the Cubs have already started, so we're behind there. They had a 6 o'clock start. But are you going to watch a little Thunder Rocks?
Yeah, you know, I got the two tablets. The Cubs already scored 10 runs again. Right?
Yeah. You know, that could be, well, you know, it'd be nice. You know, it helps make Brett Anderson look good. You know, I wasn't a big fan of the signing, but if they're going to score 10 runs in every one of the starts, I won't have a problem with it. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, he did give up a lot of walks, so.
Yeah, trust me, I got the email every time you walked a guy. How do you walk the leadoff man? How do you walk two guys in a row? You know, how do you walk this guy? How do you walk that guy? It was quite an interesting night of email messages for me. So we'll see if tonight goes better because it's Kyle Hendricks. But Stu has been very disappointed in Kyle's performances to start the year. So I don't know if they will be any better if Kyle has some struggles tonight. So,
well, you know, and I'd love to be that, and maybe this is why I don't talk to my diehards a whole lot about the Cubs in general. Love the team, you know, the whole hoopla, everything. But he had a great year last year. So I don't know that it's sustainable, though.
That's what I was saying. It's kind of like the Jake Arrieta, Cy Young mm-hmm. deal. But, you know, I know, Dan, we're almost out of time. I wanted to congratulate our friend Laura Ochoa, who had her baby today, Katrina Ochoa. So hopefully we'll get another Sports Time Radio like. I know Laura likes the Facebook page. So hopefully we'll pick up another like there. But, as far as I know, mom and baby are doing well. Hopefully it's one more like for us down the road here for good old Sports Time Radio. So, but all right, the music means Dan and I are taking off because he's got to go catch up on the Cubs game. We are coming back tomorrow at 5:30 live to do this all again. But you know the deal while we're gone. Get over to sportstimeradio.com. Look for the new blog tomorrow morning. Follow the link to the Facebook page. Give that a like. Jump on and follow that Twitter feed at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well, so you can hunt us down there if you need us. As always, a big thanks for listening live. And don't forget, you can get the podcast anytime you want now at tunein.com.
SportsTimeRadio.com.